This morning, this week, as I was preparing for this morning, I realized I had an interesting choice in front of me with this reading from Philippians and the reading from Matthew. I could talk about whether I should call people out from the pulpit or not, as Paul does in his letter. Could you imagine if I said, "Carol, Ruth, get along"? They get along. Instead, though, I went with Matthew and the way it makes us squirm for other reasons. Now, I know why this parable gives me a hard time, and I wonder if perhaps you have the same difficulty. It's that individual who shows up for the wedding feast but doesn't have on the proper clothing. The one who gets bound hand and foot, tossed into the outer darkness, where there is weeping and the gnashing of teeth. I read this passage, which comes at the end of the parable, and I get left with this bad taste in my mouth on that first read. And I wonder if you feel the same. And I think to myself, really? Jesus, really? You're going to throw a guy out because he isn't dressed properly? Hardly seems fair. Hardly seems in step with everything else that Jesus has been preaching. I'm not sure what I think of this. The result, it seems, is that everything else that Jesus is trying to teach in this parable just gets lost, because we get left with this image of someone getting tossed out of the feast because they weren't dressed properly. It leaves us with the impression that the only thing we can wear to church is our Sunday best. If you show up with shorts and sandals, you might get tossed out. Which is what I did before I was ordained. I showed up in shorts and sandals. They didn't throw me out, which is good. But it's not really that welcoming image that the church should be providing, is it? Yet it is a reputation that the church often gains. And of course, it also entirely misses the point of the parable. This isn't a story about what to wear in a physical sense. It is something much deeper than that. We aren't going to toss people out of the feasts because they can't afford a wedding garment or because they can't afford a suit and tie. But before we dig deeper into this parable, I want to provide you with a word of caution. And it actually surrounds a hymn that we often sing at church. That hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Because I don't know if you noticed in the reading, but it's when the king comes up to the one who is not dressed well, he calls him friend. And so if Jesus ever calls you friend, get ready for a hard truth. In preparing for today, one commentator actually warned, don't sing that hymn. Don't sing that hymn in church on this Sunday after this sermon. Because it seems that every time Jesus addresses someone as friend, it comes with uncomfortable news. So the king is having a feast, a wedding feast for his son. And the invitations have been sent. But the invited guests do not want to come. They've got better things to do with their time. And so great is their disdain and their desire not to go to the wedding feast that they actually beat and kill some of the messengers. Now the king reacts with likewise anger and has all of the invited guests killed. And then he instructs his servants to go out and to invite as many people as they can to come in. And so they gather the good and the bad alike. but one of those individuals who comes, and we don't know if he was good or if he was bad, but one of them doesn't wear a wedding garment and is tossed out. And the one who is thrown out isn't much better off than those who refuse to attend in the first place. Now, if you are seeing parallels between this parable today and what we've been looking at over the past few weeks, well, you should. They all run in series with one another. Jesus is still teaching in the temple, talking to the crowds who have gathered, and they are learning from him. And of course, the chief priests and elders are also there. The servants who went out to invite the guests in, they represent the prophets of Israel. And the people did not heed their words. And they did not recognize the Son when he came. Today's message follows up on the parable of the tenants, which we looked at last week. Jesus is reminding everyone pointedly that they have turned away from God and that there is a cost for that. Sometimes we just show up for the free food, but have little other interest in being there. And God takes offense to that when it relates to our faith and our relationship with God. Now, the wonderful thing, the truly beautiful and inspiring thing about this is that the king invites everyone to the party. Afterwards, when the king needs to go and find new guests, everyone is invited to the party, which is a wonderful thing because we live in a world and a society which likes to segregate. The king does not ask that only the rich be invited or only the poor be invited. Instead, the king invites everyone to the feast. And so in a world which divides people up in every which way imaginable, this is refreshing. There are no divides based on economic status, race, gender, class, employment, or sexuality. We are told that the good and the bad alike are invited. And what a strange gathering that must have been. It is interesting how the king makes no distinction between the people who are now invited. And it begs the question of us, how comfortable are we with a God who doesn't care how good we are at our jobs and who has chosen everyone, because we all measure ourselves, whether we like it or not, or want to admit it or not. We all measure ourselves based on our peers, based on our neighbors. The actions of the king remind us that what we have built and what we have accumulated have no value in the kingdom of heaven. With God, the playing field is level. There are no favorites. But we do need to ask ourselves an additional question. What expectations are placed on us if we accept the invitation? The parable clearly tells us that the host has expectations. We are supposed to dress and act in a certain way. God provides a free meal. God offers free grace. But God is looking for something in return. Friends, there's that word, friends. This is a parable about coming to God, about accepting God's grace and mercy. This is what the wedding garment signifies, God's grace. The guest who was sent out wasn't sent out because they couldn't afford a wedding garment. The guest who was sent out was sent out because they refused the grace that God offered. Just as those initial invited guests refused to come and refused God's grace. And so our actions and choices matter. We are free to refuse God's gifts, and we can refuse to put on those garments of grace. However, here Jesus clearly indicates that such choices come with consequences. And what does it look like when we refuse to put on God's garments of grace? When we refuse to live as God's people? Well, it's a watered down, diluted, and weak faith. It's a form of the good news which only seeks to pacify and appease. It does little more than show up. It doesn't move people. It doesn't challenge people. And it doesn't do God any justice. And I don't think it's enough just to show up anymore. I mean, let's be clear, it was never enough just to show up. Just showing up doesn't honor God. Because the time of the kingdom of heaven is now. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week or next year. It's now. The time is now. And God needs us to put on those garments of grace and to provide love and mercy throughout the world. Author Diana Butler Bass shares the following, and I put the full quote up on the church's Facebook page. She writes, "More than 40 years ago, mainline Protestantism began its decline. During the time of greatest loss, scholars and critics assigned blame. Liberal clergy out of step with their congregations, pushing political agendas, it all drove people away. Politics," she writes, "made people leave. And this then became conventional wisdom. Most people believed it. Many people still do. And there was this huge membership decline, which continues today. And so we looked around and we asked what caused the trauma, because we wanted to go back and we wanted to correct the mistake. And the result is that we stopped talking about the world. Instead, we only talked about ourselves as the church. And big fights about worship styles erupted. And I'm not talking about our changes here with Go Now in Peace. I mean bigger things than that. And restructuring about what hymn book we should use or how we should set up the pews. Should we have cushions or not have cushions? Who was responsible for painting the color of the rooms? Who was responsible for this or that? All internal. And a whole host of issues came knocking at the doors. And there we were. And they were there. All those issues. All sorts of justice issues. And we didn't really raise those issues as much as respond to them. And even then, we really just kept trying to figure out how not to lose numbers. And Bass concludes, she writes, "Shouldn't we be blowing our wad now? Instead of hoarding an uncertain future, huddling in fear in our church board meetings and talking about ourselves at every single denominational event, isn't it time to be free? Free to preach the good news of peace. Free to preach real liberty to the captives." And so I ask you, isn't it time we embrace the garments that God has gifted with us and to share them with the world? The complacency, conformity, and apathy we see in the world is disturbing. And we need to ensure that we do not become affected by these things. We don't want to be like that wedding guest who got tossed out. We don't want to refuse to wear the mantle of grace. So don't pick apathy over action. Don't pick complacency over caring, and don't pick conformity of the masses over the will of God. In my study, I have a quote. Every once in a while, someone will give me at Christmas those little mini desk calendars with quotes and sayings. And when I like them, I pull them off and I keep them. And I have one on one of the shelves. I have several on the shelves of my desk, but one spoke to me this week. It's attributed to Pakistani politician Benazir Bhutto, who was assassinated in 2007. The quote is this: "A ship in port is safe, but that is not what ships are built for." Following in the way of Christ, putting on the garments of grace calls us out of the port. It calls us out to sea, out into the world. And so embrace those garments and the responsibility that doing so comes with them. Amen.